Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O-Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to The O-Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley. It is Friday, May 25th. By the time I talk to you again, it will be June 1st. Can you believe it? I can't. I won't believe it. I'm not ready to believe it. Although things are going pretty well here in New England, how are things by you? It got hot today, finally. Actually, I shouldn't say finally. I'm not a hot person. Actually, I am. I'm a very hot person. But that aside, I'm not a heat person. I like a little on the cool side, especially at night when it's time for bed. Mostly because, as I think I said last week, I snuggle like crazy and pull the covers off of, you know, whoever's with me and stuff like that. So, but it got really hot today. The last 2 days, I was actually at the ballpark for my son. And when I say ballpark, this time I actually mean a minor league field because his team was playing in a tournament, and that was exciting. It's his first year on varsity, and he got to bat in the second game, which was very exciting. He made some good contact. Unfortunately, the center fielder made better contact, as it were. but that was it was exciting. It was very exciting. And my younger son is having his bar mitzvah very shortly, less than 3 weeks away. I'm sure you'll hear me talk more about that in the coming weeks and even after. And I guess the only other sort of, oh my, thing that's going on is I finally got a Fitbit. I can't remember if I mentioned this last week because I think I got it on a Thursday. So I think last week was the end of my first sort of full week wearing it. And I'm still sort of shocked and somewhat horrified at how little sleep I'm getting. It's no wonder I'm so tired all the time. So that being said, I'm trying to improve that. I'm trying to move a little more each day. I'm still kind of a sit down and watch the television, play on the internet kind of girl. Probably always will be, but maybe that can change. I think one of the tough things for me right now is that at one point this year, I had really hoped I would lose a significant amount of weight, as many of us want to, prior to a fairly big event. And that hasn't happened. And I really mixed feelings about it. I mean, obviously, I you know, not mixed in the sense that, you know, I'm not disappointed. I am. But mixed in the sense that, you know, each week when I've had time to do something about it, it hasn't been important enough for me to make the sacrifices that are necessary to get this goal. And we've talked about sacrifices here and what they mean and what they can bring us and why we make them. And for whatever reason, I still haven't gotten to that point of thinking, that this is a priority for me. And I wish I knew why. Feeling distracted today. All right, let me get a little present. Isn't that interesting? I start talking about weight, and I start talking about what I do or don't know and do and don't accept and what's a priority, and all of a sudden, I'm distracted and yawning. And I'm sure that that's not completely a coincidence. It never is. You know, that you do one thing and all of a sudden you feel another, and or you talk about something and an emotion comes up, or, you know, something happens. So I'm just going to be with that for a moment, because I think that's something a lot of us do, that we just kind of gloss over an emotion or a feeling or whatever. And I'm going to try not to do that, especially around my weight, because that's something I haven't been able to figure out yet. Don't I make it sound like, you know, some sort of deep, mysterious puzzle that needs solving? I suppose on some level it is, because it's something I've talked about and said I wanted for so long, and yet don't do. Whereas, you know, my writing and saying I want to be published and those things, well, those have gotten done quite a lot. In fact, a new interview with me just went up today on Romance Beat about her frozen stepbrother, which has gotten its first review. Can't remember if I've told you guys this. I'm feeling so discombobulated all of a sudden. So, you know, there are a lot of things that are priorities in my life, and I definitely get them done. And then there are these other things that I claim to want, and nothing happens. And I don't have a reason, and I don't necessarily understand. And I'm sure it's something about safety, or I know it's emotional. It has to be, because food is emotional. And the reasons I eat or overeat or can't manage are emotional. It's what it is for most of us. So there's something there for me to find, to uncover. And I have no idea what it is. So I'm going to do what I can. I actually picked up a book recently by Tiffany Hansen, who's Mark Victor Hansen's wife. And it's about, it's almost like taking the law of attraction and Weight Watchers and kind of putting those things together so that we understand what's behind what we do. You know, how we eat and why we eat and why we're reaching for what we reach, and how, even though I know that if I don't eat the right foods, I'm poisoning myself in some ways, why am I still doing what I'm doing? I recently had the privilege of working on two books with two different doctors, working on their content with them from a company called Baby Pie. And both of them talked about nutrition and diet as being incredibly vital to our long-term health, and how taking care of that and being aware of that can help us to avoid things like doctors and hospitals and heart attacks and various other things that a lot of us really want. So, you know, it's strange. I have this awareness of what I can do or should do, and I think lots of us do. And yet I don't have any matching actions that suggest I am doing it, or, you know, I'm in the process of doing it, and I'll go to Weight Watchers and I still won't track, or I still want this, or I still want that. And I understand. I mean, I'm not upset about my results from them, because I totally understand why. You know, I'm not mad at Weight Watchers or anything like that. I'm frustrated with myself, and frustrated with the fact that I don't have answers yet. I like having answers, don't you? I like having answers. So, speaking of answers, what are we going to discuss today? Well, there's a couple of things. First, I want to play, in part because I need it, but I want to revisit a TED Talk by the one and only, the totally incredible Brené Brown on vulnerability. And since the first time I played it, I swear the first time I played it had like 12,000 views, and now it has 12 million views, and now it has 25 million views on TED. So that's something I wanted to share with you probably after the break on the oh no, because vulnerability for most of us feels like an oh no. And it doesn't have to, and it shouldn't. I shouldn't say it shouldn't. You know, what scares us informs us. It tells us where we, where there's something we don't know yet and or haven't faced yet, where we haven't maybe accepted ourselves. I'm not positive, but I do know that what we are scared of or what we're not willing to do is, I know it informs me. I know it's trying to tell me something. I just don't know what. I wish I knew better what and why I do this and have been doing this for years. Is it habit? Is it fear? Is it just thinking that I can't, after so much time? I don't know. I wish I did. I think I need answers. Do you think I need, I'm feeling like all clogged up today. But I'll discover them, and maybe we'll even discover them together. So, with that pause, I'm going to let my beautiful music play us out. We're going to come back to Brené Brown's The Power of Vulnerability here on the O-Spot on Om Times Radio.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Alicia Isaacs-Howes.
And I'm Catherine Glass.
And we're the Psychic Angel Channelers. You can find us every week here on Om Times Radio at Angel Talk Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the O-Spot. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley, and today I'm going to take a break from talking a little bit and take a little time to listen. I think part of the reason I'm so discombobulated is I'm just doing so much, and I need a little quiet time of my own. Listen to me yawning at you guys. Wow, talk about being vulnerable. All right. Here I am. Here we are. Here's Brené. Brené studies human connection, our ability to empathize, belong, love. And in this talk, she shares a deep insight from her own research, which sent her on a personal quest to know herself as well as to understand humanity. And she has some wonderful books out, including daring greatly and rising strong. So this is Brené Brown, The Power of Vulnerability.
I was going to do a speaking event, and she called and she said, I'm really struggling with how to write about you on the little flyer. And I thought, well, what's the struggle? And she said, well, I saw you speak, and I'm going to call you a researcher, I think, but I'm afraid if I call you a researcher, no one will come because they'll think you're boring and irrelevant. And I was like, okay. And she said, but the thing I liked about your talk is, you know, you're a storyteller, so I think what I'll do is just call you a storyteller. And of course, the academic, insecure part of me was like, you're going to call me a what? And she said, I'm going to call you a storyteller. And I was like, oh, why not magic pixie? Let me think about this for a second. And so I tried to call deep on my courage. And I thought, you know, I am a storyteller. I'm a qualitative researcher. I collect stories. That's what I do. And maybe stories are just data with a soul, you know, and maybe I'm just a storyteller. So I said, you know what? Why don't you just say I'm a researcher storyteller? And she went, there's no such thing. So I'm a researcher storyteller. And I'm going to talk to you today. We're talking about expanding perception. And so I want to talk to you and tell some stories about a piece of my research that fundamentally expanded my perception and really actually changed the way that I live and love and work and parent. And this is where my story starts. When I was a young researcher, doctoral student, my first year I had a research professor who said to us, here's the thing, if you cannot measure it, it does not exist. And I thought he was just sweet talking to me. I was like, really? And he's like, absolutely. So you have to understand that I have a bachelor's in social work, a master's in social work, and I was getting my PhD in social work. So my entire academic career was surrounded by people who kind of believed in the life's messy, love it, you know, and I'm more the life's messy, clean it up, organize it, and put it into a bento box. And so to think that I had found my way, to found a career that takes me, you know, really one of the big sayings in social work is lean into the discomfort of the work. And I'm like, you know, knock discomfort upside the head and move it over and get all A's. That was my mantra. So I was very excited about this. And so I thought, you know what, this is the career for me because I am interested in some messy topics, but I want to be able to make them not messy. I want to understand them. I want to hack into these things that I know are important and lay the code out for everyone to see. So where I started was with connection, because by the time you're a social worker for 10 years, what you realize is that connection is why we're here. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. This is what it's all about. It doesn't matter whether you talk to people who work in social justice and mental health and abuse and neglect. What we know is that connection, the ability to feel connected, is neurobiologically, that's how we're wired, it's why we're here. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to start with connection. Well, you know that situation where you get an evaluation from your boss, and she tells you 37 things that you do really awesome, and one thing that you kind of, you know, an opportunity for growth? And all you could think about is that opportunity for growth, right? Well, apparently this is the way my work went as well, because when you ask people about love, they tell you about heartbreak. When you ask people about belonging, they'll tell you their most excruciating experiences of being excluded. And when you ask people about connection, the stories they told me were about disconnection. So very quickly, really about 6 weeks into this research, I ran into this unnamed thing that absolutely unraveled connection in a way that I didn't understand or had never seen. And so I pulled back out of the research and thought, I need to figure out what this is. And it turned out to be shame. And shame is really easily understood as the fear of disconnection. Is there something about me that if other people know it or see it, that I won't be worthy of connection? The things I can tell you about it, it's universal. We all have it. The only people who don't experience shame have no capacity for human empathy or connection. No one wants to talk about it, and the less you talk about it, the more you have it. What underpinned this shame, this I'm not good enough, which we all know that feeling. I'm not blank enough. I'm not thin enough, rich enough, beautiful enough, smart enough, promoted enough. The thing that underpinned this was excruciating vulnerability. This idea of, in order for connection to happen, we have to allow ourselves to be seen, really seen. And you know how I feel about vulnerability. I hate vulnerability. And so I thought, this is my chance to beat it back with my measuring stick. I'm going in. I'm going to figure this stuff out. I'm going to spend a year. I'm going to totally deconstruct shame. I'm going to understand how vulnerability works. And I'm going to outsmart it. So I was ready. And I was really excited. As you know, it's not going to turn out well. You know this. So I could tell you a lot about shame, but I'd have to borrow everyone else's time. But here's what I can tell you that it boils down to. And this may be one of the most important things that I've ever learned in the decade of doing this research. My 1 year has turned into 6 years. Thousands of stories, hundreds of long interviews, focus groups. At one point, people were sending me journal pages and sending me their stories. Thousands of pieces of data. And 6 years. And I kind of got a handle on it. I kind of understood this is what shame is. This is how it works. I wrote a book. I published a theory. But something was not okay. And what it was is that if I roughly took the people I interviewed and divided them into people who really have a sense of worthiness. That's what this comes down to, a sense of worthiness. They have a strong sense of love and belonging. And folks who struggle for it, and folks who are always wondering if they're good enough. There was only one variable that separated the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging and the people who really struggle for it, and that was the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they're worthy of love and belonging. That's it. They believe they're worthy. And to me, the hard part of the one thing that keeps us out of connection is our fear that we're not worthy of connection was something that personally and professionally I felt like I needed to understand better. So what I did is I took all of the interviews where I saw worthiness, where I saw people living that way, and just looked at those. What do these people have in common? And I have a slight office supply addiction, but another talk. So I had a manila notebook, a manila folder, and I had a Sharpie, and I was like, what am I going to call this research? And the first words that came to my mind were wholehearted. These are kind of wholehearted people living from this deep sense of worthiness. So I wrote at the top of the manila folder, and I started looking at the data. In fact, I did it first in this very four-day, very intensive data analysis where I went back, pulled these interviews, pulled the stories, pulled the incidents. What's the theme? What's the pattern? My husband left town with the kids because I always go into this kind of Jackson Pollock crazy thing where I'm just like writing and going and kind of just in my researcher mode. And so here's what I found. What they had in common was a sense of courage. And I want to separate courage and bravery for you for a minute. Courage, the original definition of courage, when it first came into the English language, it's from the Latin word cur, meaning heart. And the original definition was to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. And so these folks had, very simply, the courage to be imperfect. They had the compassion to be kind to themselves first and then to others, because as it turns out, we can't practice compassion with other people if we can't treat ourselves kindly. And the last was they had connection, and this was the hard part, as a result of authenticity. They were willing to let go of who they thought they should be in order to be who they were, which is you have to absolutely do that for connection. The other thing that they had in common was this. They fully embraced vulnerability. They believed that what made them vulnerable made them beautiful. They didn't talk about vulnerability being comfortable, nor did they really talk about it being excruciating, as I had heard it earlier in the shame interviewing. They just talked about it being necessary. They talked about the willingness to say, I love you first. The willingness to do something where there are no guarantees. The willingness to breathe through waiting for the doctor to call after your mammogram. The willing to invest in a relationship that may or may not work out. They thought this was fundamental. I personally thought it was betrayal. I could not believe I had pledged allegiance to research, where our job, you know, the definition of research is to control and predict, to study phenomenon for the reason, for the explicit reason to control and predict. And now my very, you know, my mission to control and predict had turned up the answer that the way to live is with vulnerability and to stop controlling and predicting. This led to a little breakdown, which actually looked more like this. And it did. It led to I call it a breakdown. My therapist calls it a spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening sounds better than breakdown, but I assure you it was a breakdown. And I had to put my data away and go find a therapist. Let me tell you something. You know who you are when you call your friends and say, I think I need to see somebody. Who, do you have any recommendations? Because about five of my friends are like, woo, I wouldn't want to be your therapist. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like,
I'm going to pause her there. I think one of the things I'm hearing that I needed to hear was that being accepting part, in addition to the being vulnerable part. So come on back after the break for the Oh Yes, as we continue to hear her talk for about another, I think it's about 9 more minutes, on what vulnerability can bring us all, here on the O Spot on Om Times Radio.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
What if living didn't have to be so serious?
What if you could move beyond your problems with greater confidence and ease than you've ever imagined?
Throw your labels out the window and join the Irreverent Therapist for practical tips and a very different way of approaching the changes you would like to create.
Marilyn Bradford
and Pam Hodling
have empowered hundreds of people to come out of self-judgment, quit looking to experts, and begin to create the lives they desire.
Join us Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Irreverent Therapist Show.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
welcome back to the O Spot. I'm still your host, Rachel Kenley. I am still not all with it today. It's just one of those right after the full moon madness kind of things. We're also coming up on a long weekend here in the United States, which is Memorial Day for us. And I know a lot of places, a lot of countries do mark it in different times of the year, although I think a lot of them are in the spring for various reasons. So I can't tell you why I am so, like, out of it today, but I'm going to let Brené Brown talk about vulnerability as I take in with you what it is we all need to be a little more successful, a little more connected, and a little more self-loving.
I'm just saying, you know, like, don't bring your measuring stick. Okay. So I found a therapist. My first meeting with her, Diana. I brought in my list of the way the wholehearted live. And I sat down and she said, you know, how are you? And I said, I'm great. You know, I'm okay. And she said, what's going on? And I said, this is a therapist who sees therapists because we have to go to those because their BS meters are good. And so I said, here's the thing. I'm struggling. And she said, what's the struggle? And I said, well, I have a vulnerability issue. And, you know, and I know that vulnerability is kind of the core of shame and fear and our struggle for worthiness, but it appears that it's also the birthplace of joy, of creativity, of belonging, of love. And I think I have a problem and I need some help. And I said, but here's the thing, no family stuff, no childhood shit. I just need some strategies. Thank you. So she goes like this. And then I said, it's bad, right? She said, it's neither good nor bad. It just is what it is. And I said, oh my God, this is going to suck. And it did, and it didn't. And it took about a year. And you know how there are people that, like, when they realize that vulnerability and tenderness are important, that they kind of surrender and walk into it? A, that's not me. And B, I don't even hang out with people like that. For me, it was a year-long street fight. It was a slugfest. Vulnerability pushed, I pushed back. I lost the fight, but probably won my life back. And so then I went back into the research and spent the next couple of years really trying to understand what they, the wholehearted, what the choices they were making and what are we doing with vulnerability? Why do we struggle with it so much? Am I alone in struggling with vulnerability? No. So this is what I learned. We numb vulnerability. When we're waiting for the call, it was funny, I sent something out on Twitter and on Facebook that says, how would you define vulnerability? What makes you feel vulnerable? And within an hour and a half, I had 150 responses. Because I wanted to know, you know, what's out there? Having to ask my husband for help because I'm sick and we're newly married. Initiating sex with my husband. Initiating sex with my wife. Being turned down, asking someone out, waiting for the doctor to call back, getting laid off, laying off people. This is the world we live in. We live in a vulnerable world. And one of the ways we deal with it is we numb vulnerability. And I think there's evidence, and it's not the only reason this evidence exists, but I think that there is a huge cause. We are the most in debt, obese, addicted, and medicated adult cohort in U.S. history. The problem is, and I learned this from the research, that you cannot selectively numb emotion. You can't say, here's the bad stuff. Here's vulnerability. Here's grief. Here's shame. Here's fear. Here's disappointment. I don't want to feel these. I'm going to have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. I don't want to feel these. And I know that's knowing laughter. I hack into your lives for a living. I know that's God. You can't numb those hard feelings without numbing the other affects or emotions. You cannot selectively numb. So when we numb those, we numb joy. We numb gratitude. We numb happiness. And then we are miserable and we are looking for purpose and meaning. And then we feel vulnerable. So then we have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. And it becomes this dangerous cycle. One of the things that I think that we need to think about is why and how we numb. And it doesn't just have to be addiction. The other thing we do is we make everything that's uncertain, certain. Religion has gone from a belief in faith and mystery to certainty. I'm right, you're wrong, shut up. That's it. Just certain. The more afraid we are, the more vulnerable we are, the more afraid we are. This is what politics looks like today. There's no discourse anymore. There's no conversation. There's just blame. You know how blame is described in the research? A way to discharge pain and discomfort. We perfect. If there's anyone who wants their life to look like this, it would be me. But it doesn't work. Because what we do is we take fat from our butts and put it in our cheeks. Which just, I hope in 100 years people will look back and go, wow. And we perfect, most dangerously, our children. Let me tell you what we think about children. They're hardwired for struggle when they get here. When you hold those perfect little babies in your hand, our job is not to say, look at her, she's perfect. My job is just to keep her perfect, make sure she makes the tennis team by fifth grade and Yale by seventh grade. That's not our job. Our job is to look and say, you know what? You're imperfect and you're wired for struggle, but you are worthy of love and belonging. That's our job. Show me a generation of kids raised like that and we'll end the problems I think that we see today. We pretend that what we do doesn't have an effect on people. We do that in our personal lives. We do that corporate, whether it's a bailout, an oil spill, a recall. We pretend like what we're doing doesn't have a huge impact on other people. I would say to companies, this is not our first rodeo, people. We just need you to be authentic and real and say, we're sorry. We'll fix it. But there's another way, and I'll leave you with this. This is what I have found. To let ourselves be seen. Deeply seen. Vulnerably seen. To love with our whole hearts, even though there's no guarantee. And that's really hard. I can tell you as a parent, that's excruciatingly difficult. To practice gratitude and joy in those moments of kind of terror when we're wondering, can I love you this much? Can I believe in this as passionately? Can I be this fierce about this? Just to be able to stop and instead of catastrophizing what might happen to say, I'm just so grateful. Because to feel this vulnerable means I'm alive. And the last, which I think is probably the most important, is to believe that we're enough. Because when we work from a place, I believe, that says, I'm enough, then we stop screaming and start listening.
To really reach a broad spectrum.
To people around us, and we're kinder and gentler to ourselves. That's all I have.
I hope you love that as much as I do. I find it just, wow, incredible. I need to close that. I find her just very real about how this was hard for her and how she didn't like it and how she wanted it to be something different and it couldn't be. Recently, my younger son, we were hearing commercials for things and they're very conflicting in their own way. They say, you know, accept yourself, and then they post perfection. And that sends so many mixed messages for all of us, no matter how old or young we are. And it's challenging, no matter how old or young we are. And my son said something about, you know, you need to understand you're perfect. And he said, not Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, but Y-O-U-R. Your own perfect. You need to know what's right for you, not for someone else, not for anybody, you know, not for anybody else. And with all the information we get, most of it is so, can be so good. I love the access to so much information. And yet I know that there are times when I'm taking in information that could be harming me as much as the food I take in sometimes harms me. And that's very frustrating and frightening, I have to admit. And I think when I'm frightened, that's when I start making the, you know, the less good choices, the fast food, the high sugars, the comfort foods, the, you know, you name it. So maybe there's a great deal in there around that. I'm not positive. I feel, do you ever have days where you're just freaking unsure? Well, that's my day today. I am just, I'm with you and, you know, I'm sharing all of this. And at the same time, I just, part of me just wants to scream, I can't believe you're listening to me. What do I know? And you've been with me for weeks, months, years. Well, a year and a half. And it'll be 2 years in October. Woo-hoo! You know, and you, I, you know, on most days, I don't ever think this because I love doing this week, this hour with all of you. And yet this week, I'm just like, why? So that's my being vulnerable and that's my accepting and being present to it. But you know, for an oh yes, that was lovely. Oh no. Oh, maybe it is oh yes. Maybe it's time for my music to start. There it is. Saved by the Pretty Pink Zebra music. Come back for the last section on the O-Spot. I'm sure to come up with something.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Simone Milicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back to the O-Spot. I am, as always, your host, Rachel Kenley. And it's time for me to wrap up. I'm not even sure where to go with it. Isn't that terrible? But I decide, you know what? I'm going to look. I'm going to go onto YouTube. And I'm going to find some of our songs. All right. That's the wrong person. I need to sign out and be... and get to my stations. Hang on. There we go. All right, I'm getting there. I told you I was like a mess today. You didn't believe me. All right, now you believe me. I know you do. All right. Okay. Oh, my channel. There we are. My playlists. Oh, uplifting Broadway or energizing and inspiring. Let's go. Let's go with Try. This is Colby Collette and her incredible video and music, Try. I highly recommend watching the video if you can.
Put your makeup on, get your nails done, curl your hair, run the extra mile, keep it slim so they like you. Do they like you? Get your sexy on, don't be shy, girl, take it off. This is what you want to belong, so they like you. Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard. You don't have to give it all away. You just have to get up, get up, get up, get up. You don't have to change a single thing. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try, 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 try. You don't have to try. You don't have to try. Shopping on at the mall, makes your credit cards. You don't have to choose, buy it all. So they like you. Do they like you? Wait a second, why should you care what they think of you when you're all alone by yourself? Do you like you? Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard.
You know, I guess that is what it boils down to, about do you like you? Do we like ourselves, you know, when we're when we look in the mirror or at the end of the day or any of those other times, it needs to be about us. It needs to be for us, which is why I know the whole weight thing isn't going to happen until it's, you know, for me, and it's not something I'm doing because other people have said so and suggest so. And it's not going to be till I get okay with some things. I'm not even sure what those things are right now. Isn't that helpful? But I know it's true. I know that I need to be okay with the mistakes I've made. I need to be okay with making more. I need to be okay with how I am, because right now, because I think I should be thinner or that I should have done this and look how much better things would have been if I had, every time I eat something, I'm kind of miserable. And I'm kind of wondering if I should, and am I making a good choice? And if I'm not, I feel terrible. And if I am, I feel good. But it's all based on that. And that's putting a lot of emotion and pressure on food. So that's a lot to think about. That is a lot to think about. All right, how about something more upbeat? I'm kind of feeling Taylor Swift. I'm kind of feeling the upbeat of Shake It Off. How about you guys? Yeah, because you can answer me. All right, answer me loud and clear. See, you think just the way I do. Wonderful. Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Now oh, crap. First, I got to get through the advertisement. You know, I don't mind the advertisements. I don't love waiting the whopping 15 seconds that it sometimes takes. But as long as it's free, I feel like I shouldn't complain. So I don't complain. Here we go. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many dates, but I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say. That's what people say. But I keep cruising. Can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music.
Shake it off, shake it off. Break, 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 break.
Happy note. And by the way, Try had like 62 million views. I thought, oh my God, that's awesome. Shake It Off has almost 1.5 billion views. Billion! Join me next week here on the O Spot. I promise to be more sane. Maybe. Maybe not. Come join me. It'll be fun to find out, won't it? For Om Times Radio, I'm Rachel Kenley and the O Spot. Good night.